It's Heather with Motherhood in Hollywood. Of course, who else would it be? I want to tell you guys that this episode is sponsored by BumbyBox. BumbyBox is an eco-friendly toy subscription service that your kids are going to love. Now, what is BumbyBox? Inside each BumbyBox are award-winning toys tailored to your child's age and interest, and they support play-based learning activities. And if you're a parent or know anyone with children, you know that that's very important. And the contents of the boxes will change even as your child grows and develops new interests. Pretty cool. All of the Bumby boxes include activities, ideas, songs, and reading lists as well. You do not want to miss this opportunity to go and get Bumby Box for yourself. Go to BumbyBox.com and make sure you enter the code M-I-H-O-O-D. That's M-I-H-O-O-D. You can get a 10% discount off of your Bumby Box order. Sweet, who doesn't love to save money? Go to BumbyBox.com right now and find out why Bumby Box is a better way to play.
Come on, Mama.
Grab your popcorn and goobers. It's time for Motherhood in Hollywood with your host, Heather Brooker. This is a crude prude's perspective on being a full-time mom in showbiz. She's not a perfect mom, but she can play one on TV. Hold on to your butts. Here's Heather.
Welcome to the wonderful world of motherhood in Hollywood. Hi, welcome, guys. I'm Heather. I'm the host of this show. Thank you so much for joining me. It's episode 49. Yowzas. I can't believe I've done this 49 times. It's still kind of like, what? Because each week it's so much fun. I get to interview cool people. I get to talk about myself. It's pretty much the perfect situation. But if you are just joining me for your first episode, wow, where have you been? But hey, glad you're here. Make sure you take a minute and subscribe to Motherhood in Hollywood on iTunes. That is the big button under my picture of Motherhood in Hollywood on iTunes that says subscribe. If you haven't done that yet, please do so. It makes a huge difference for me and to be able to keep track of who's listening and also for iTunes. So do it, please. Thank you. Really quickly, I want to tell you who my guest is today. My guest is Audrey Kearns. And Audrey is the co-founder of a really awesomely nerdy website, geeky website, called Geek Girl Authority. Now, Audrey is also a writer and an actress and a stepmom. So you know what? We're going to get into some stepmom talk today. We love all moms here at Motherhood in Hollywood. Some moms are a little cray, which we're going to talk about in a second, but we're going to dive into the moms that we love today. That sounds really gross. I don't mean it. Maybe I'm just like, I'm such a weirdo. I've had way too much coffee today. We're not going to dive into any moms. We're going to be talking about moms. We're supporting moms and friends and actors and people in the entertainment community. So I'm so excited to have Audrey on to share her story today. I want to really quickly give a shout out to some of the new folks that are following me on Instagram. What? Motherhood in Hollywood is on Instagram? You bet your bippy. I post some awesome pictures over there. If you don't follow Motherhood in Hollywood on Instagram, go there now. I'm going to say hello to From Scratch with Maria. Oh, I love that name. Ruby Makes Three, Ellie Kipe, and Miss Katie Grace. Thank you guys so much for following me over on the Instagram. Also on Twitter, we have some new followers too. Want to give a quick hello to Sleepy Planet. Hi, massive help to parents who need advice and need tips, especially when it comes to babies who need sleep. Make sure you check out Sleepy Planet over on Twitter at Sleepy Planet. I want to say hello to Kate Fries. Thank you so much for following me. And Ninja Economics. That sounds awesome. I want to be a ninja at economics. And Heather Hansen. Thank you guys so much for taking the time to follow me over on Twitter. We are at MIH. There I go again. I am at MIH Podcast and at Heather Brooker if you want to follow any of my Twitter twatter musings where I say wildly inappropriate things and sometimes mostly all the time brag about myself and my podcast. Yay. All right. So really quickly, I just want to vent for a second. So some of you who do follow me on Facebook and social media have seen that I posted an article last week on Backstage about an article I wrote for Backstage, which was really great. It was such a fun opportunity. I was so honored that they asked me to write something about parenting and acting. And they had some guidelines. It needed to be short, you know, 500 words or less or something like that. And they liked the listicles, if you will, because I guess it's just easier for people to read. So I wrote a little something really designed to kind of talk to my pre-parent self. And that's what I had titled it, Things I Wish I Had Known as a Pre-Parent Actor. And I wrote these lists of things kind of like, you know, it's not as expensive as you might think. You will have help. You will work again. There are everybody in this business, you know, a lot of people in this business, I should say, are parents too, so they get it. So I kind of wrote it for as a affirmation to myself, but also to hopefully be encouraging to other parents out there who are other people out there, I should say, who are thinking about becoming parents. It's in this business. It's nerve-wracking. It's you don't know what to expect. Anyway, my point is when Backstage posted it, people on Facebook have been going bananas. They are saying really nasty and mean things about me. It also doesn't help that Backstage changed the title of my post to say something like, you know, five reasons why creatives or actors should become parents, which is not at all, was not my intention for the article. But anyway, people have been calling me names, you know, just saying really awful things on their Facebook page. And it's such a bummer because I feel like there's a few people who get it and have been sort of going, hey, this isn't, did you actually read the article? This isn't what she meant. And I guess it just goes with the territory that when you put yourself out there in any way as an actor, whether you're performing on screen, if you're in a commercial, you know, if you're writing something, if you're working behind the scenes, whatever, if you're creatively putting yourself out there, you do have to open yourself up to the scrutiny of the internet, people who don't know you, people who are making massive assumptions about you. And it really sucks. But at the same time, I'm kind of like, meh, I don't care. I mean, I care, obviously, but I'm not going to lose any sleep over it. My podcast will continue on. I'm going to continue to go to auditions and, you know, hustle and do what I believe is right for me and continue to share my opinions and my thoughts. And as long as I'm able to do that, then people on the internet can say whatever they want. That doesn't mean that it doesn't suck massively when people shit on something that you do. But I don't know. It was a little disconcerting and I'm trying to shake it off. As Tay-Tay says, shake it off. So that's what I'm going to do. So I would just encourage you, if you want to be creative and do something creative, do it. Fuck them. Fuck everybody who is a hater, whether they're on the internet or in your face. I don't know. I just got real mad for a second. I'm not that mad. So yeah, that's what's happening in my world. And what else is going on? Follow me on Facebook to keep up with the latest. And yeah, I guess when I get to the point where I can't think of anything else to say, I should wrap this ish up and get to the interview, right? I think so, Heather. Feel free to keep those emails and tweets coming in. I love hearing from you guys. It makes me feel like I'm actually doing something worthwhile. If you want to email me, Heather at motherhoodinhollywood.com, you're more than welcome to do so. And now I am going to introduce my guest, Audrey Kearns. We had a lovely conversation about all things sci-fi and geeky and motherhood and writing. And it's just a lot of fun. You guys are going to love her as much as I do. So here is my friend, Audrey Kearns. I'm going to text Chris and tell him to turn up the air conditioning. I want it to be more L-shaped so I can actually face people and I don't have to go like this.
Yeah.
Because it's super awkward.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask him to drop the AC a bit because this room gets so hot.
Well, with us in here, can you? Oh. I mean, come on, people. are you thinking?
How could it not get
hot? Oh, my goodness.
So if you guys are going, who is this other sultry voice joining Heather on the PCast today? This is my friend, Audrey Kearns. She is the creative genius behind Geek Girl Authority, co-creator of Geek Girl Authority with my other friend, Claudia.
Oh, she's going to be so mad that you said Claudia. You like getting her mad and saying Claudia.
I love it because I used to be a tour guide and we had this German tour guide and her name was Claudia. So it's sort of it's a bad habit. It's a hard habit to break, Claudia. Sorry,
babe. It is.
But you are co-founder of Geek Girl Authority, writer, actress, wife. My husband says
What's a wife?
And also, are you still acting? Do you still consider yourself to be an actress?
Absolutely. I mean, I haven't done it in a long time. The last time I was up on stage. Well, I've done a lot of like comedy shows with friends and stuff, you know, where I'm reading sketches or doing sketches. I haven't been behind a camera in ages. I did just recently do a one-person show that I toured with to Orlando, and I did a run here in LA called Obsessively Okay, which is about I have obsessive compulsive disorder.
Yeah.
And it was about writing about that, and it was actually really well received and very funny. It wasn't one of those one-person shows where it's just, this happened to me and it was so sad. Mine was very self-deprecating. And
did you find that to be helpful, a little therapeutic to talk about it in that way?
I did, because I wasn't diagnosed until my late 30s. And soon as I got my diagnosis in a gynecologist's office, my legs are up in the air and everything. And one of my things, like, I'm pretty low on the spectrum, but when I get nervous, I scratch and I scratch and I make myself bleed. And then I pick, you know, and stuff like that. And I can't stop myself. And it's not like there's other important issues like cutting and all that are equally as important, but it's not that I'm not trying to do the damage to myself. I just can't
stop.
I'm compelled for some reason to.
And have had this your whole life?
Well, that's what happened. You know, I never thought about it. And I was so embarrassed because, you know, your legs are naked and my legs were full of scabs. And so I'm going over these excuses of, well, I'm going to tell my gynecologist, okay, I'm going to...
Why do you have so many scabs?
Yeah, I'm going to tell her that I went hiking and it's mosquitoes. I'm going to tell her, and I'm going to all this stuff. And so when she gets done, she's all done. She takes the speculum out and everything. The worst part,
the old speculum.
The thwack of the gloves come off, you know, that we women are so familiar with that sound.
I'm clenching right now. I know. About it.
And then she goes to the garbage can and she doesn't even look at me. She goes, so what's going on with your legs, Audrey? And I started to go into my excuses, but I couldn't get them out of my mouth.
Because you knew you were lying.
She's like, Audrey, you have OCD, and I've got a list of people. Because she's known me for like 7 or 8 years. You know, I've been going to her now for like 12 years, you know. And she's like, here's a list of people. She goes, I know you well enough from talking to you and everything and this. And then it made my life easier. It opened up new doors. It's like, this is what's going on.
It put words to it.
It put words to it. Yeah. It put a label on it. And it wasn't, oh my God, I've been labeled. It's terrible.
Right.
It opened my eyes to, it actually made me feel I'm not crazy.
Yeah.
This is something I can't control. And knowing this, I look at my mom, totally OCD.
Yeah.
You know, and then
was she undiagnosed as well?
No, she's seen my show. I've never come out and told her about it, but I'm curious. I never talked to her about it because she's in my show too.
Right.
I mean, she made us clean so much when we were kids that one day she called me in my 20s and said, hey, Audrey, I just want to let you know what I did to you guys with your chores every Saturday. It was actually spring cleaning. I just realized I made you do spring cleaning every Saturday, and I just wanted to apologize. Okay, I hope you and Brian are doing well. Bye.
Oh my God.
And that was, it's absolutely true. We couldn't do anything until we did that spring cleaning. And what?
I'm envisioning no more wire hangers.
Right.
Like, but that kind of cleaning.
It was that kind of cleaning, but without Joan Crawford, with a nice mom.
Okay.
With a really nice mom.
So she's like, okay, everybody, comments. But it was like, lots of cheerful scrubbing. And
And I don't think there's such a thing. But what indulged the behavior or the mental disorder is that I grew up in a military family and I went to Catholic school. And that's all about rules and rituals.
Yeah.
So I didn't feel crazy until I got out of college because I'm on my own and I didn't have... Why isn't anybody following the rules and rituals that I do?
Right.
Why doesn't anyone pay attention to authority like I do? Why are these people going off the cuff and this, and this? And
improv must have blown your mind.
I can't. I have a healthy respect for all improvisers because I can improvise, say, like when I was working in theme parks doing like union shows and stuff like that and hosting. Like, I can improvise with the audience and up to a point, but like what my husband does and what you do and what a lot of my improviser friends do, I will not be able to play with you because I am in my head. I have to think of everything before it comes out.
Yeah, improv is hard like that. Yeah. It's
and people, a lot of people don't know that. It is a skill. It is a skill
to not think of what you're going to do next. Yeah. I'm a planner. In that, you know, I'm not so much a rules person, but I'm a planner. I love to know, okay, like even down to the point where when I walk out the door, I know I need to put my wallet in my purse. I'm going to grab my keys and my sunglasses on the way out the door before I grab my garage door opener and then open the garage door. And sometimes I remember my daughter, but it's literally, and maybe that's even a little OCD on my part for the planning side of it. But, it's structure.
Yeah. Structure.
For me, I find very comforting.
Yeah. And also have an anxiety disorder. You know, I'm just a very anxious and fearful person, which is something I'm working on. Look, I'm here.
How did you feel about coming over here today? Cause I know we usually do our podcast and which we'll talk about.
It's hard. It's hard for me to leave the house every single day. Every time I walk out, if I'm going to get gas or to the grocery store, it's not like some long thing where I'm crying. It's just this feeling in my stomach where I'm at.
Is it agoraphobic, do you think?
No. Like, I don't mind going to somewhere where there's a big crowd and when I'm by myself because I'm control. It's about control, I think, you know, because I'm controlling everything that happens to me at that point. And a lot of people are like, well, then how can you be an actor? How can you get up on stage and do what you do? Because I'm a really...
Because you have to give up total control.
No, because I am in control.
Oh, of your acting?
Yeah. I mean, I'm really...
I guess I'm thinking in terms of like someone else is directing you. Someone else is lighting you.
Yes. And that's always a very nerve-wracking part is the direction and the rehearsals. I enjoy it a great deal, but wanting to make everybody happy and making sure I'm doing it right. Mm-hmm. But the moment that the play is on its own, those are the moments where when I'm on stage, whenever a lot of people have trouble looking at the audience if you're doing a monologue or something like that. No, I can lock eyes with anybody. And that's one of the few times that I can actually lock eyes with people.
Yeah.
And when I'm up there, I do feel in control in my space and I am ready for things to happen that may not be in the script. And I'm good at handling them on stage for some reason. And it's also one of the few times, honestly, where I feel total bliss, release, and happiness. Mm-hmm. Is when I'm on stage, I feel free. I feel so free. And I think that's why I'm so good at acting, especially theater.
Yeah.
You know, and that's not to say I don't feel it, you know, with my husband or like with my friends and stuff like
that. Guy.
But it is. fuck my husband. And he's paying for my mortgage. So right. I didn't really mean that.
I think that there's something to that, though, because they say, I think I've read studies. I'm sure there's been millions of studies done. But like. About how therapeutic acting and performing and the arts
and the
can
arts,
be.
Absolutely.
For all kinds of either mental health disorders or physical ailments and that sort of thing. It's very therapeutic and freeing to be able to get up on a stage and sing your heart out or act silly, act goofy, and then to get that response from the audience, that applause or laughter or whatever.
Yeah.
I think that's why stand-ups are so addicted to... what they do is because they feed off of those laughs. They feed.
Oh, they
off
do.
Of it.
I mean, And I've got friends actually, and I don't know how you feel about this, but I have a friend who does freelance writing for certain blog sites and stuff like that, and he is so obsessed with how many likes he gets.
Oh yeah, that's like
and it reminds me of like what you just said, the applause and everything. I mean, he will be in a meeting. Or we'll be, you know, out or something, and he's just got his phone in his hand, and he's refreshing like every minute.
Oh my
gosh. Yeah, it's like
is
really.
Is it Mackie?
No. No.
I don't see him being like that.
You haven't met this guy. But
it's true. That I think is a different thing. The social media disorder, the social media obsession with your likes and with Facebook comments and all that stuff. That's I think a totally different beast. That's become something that's a real problem. I have a friend who. Also cannot put his phone down. Like he cannot make eye contact with anybody and he's always on his phone, got to be checking all the socials constantly. Yeah. And it's like, why? I mean, there are some days when I get that too, because I'm constantly checking the Motherhood and Hollywood
stuff.
Well,
it's part of your job, you know? Right. So you have to be on that social media. Yeah. But I am going through this thing where like on certain days I challenge myself to not look at Facebook once and
Is
stuff
it hard?
Like that. It's very hard. And my husband, challenged himself to do it for a week, and it was very difficult. He kept, because he at night he kept going to Facebook and goes, look, I just did it, because it's just like, you know, motor memory. It's just like,
but
that's
also
what he
we
does
get the notifications that pop up. I don't know if you get those, but I get them pop up whenever somebody tweets me. I don't have them set for Instagram because it was like, it's too much because it's so popular at Instagram. No, but like, it was just too much. I had to turn some of them off because then I'm constantly looking at my phone.
Yeah,
and so now I try to wait, and then what happens is if I miss something or miss a comment from somebody gets mad at me, like, why didn't you see my post? And it's like, I don't know. I'm really trying to not be so obsessive about
even
it.
My husband does that. He goes it'll be 2 hours after we've been up, and he always gets up earlier than I do, and I'm like only out for like 10 minutes or something like that, and he's like, did you remember post? Did you see what I posted on Facebook?
I do that to Chris.
And I'm like, I haven't even had coffee. Wait, I promise I'll read it. And he looks hurt. He looks so hurt.
I do that to Chris, though. When I write a new blog post, I'm like, hey, did you read my post? Sometimes I send it to him before I release it into the wild.
I do it to be fair. I'm like, did you share my post? I will do that to him.
Yeah, yeah.
I will say, did you share? You should share that one.
So I want to talk for a second about B&P.
B&P is the best podcast out there besides this one. Meal Before Odd.
And Five Streets in a Lie. I was looking through some old emails today, and we started talking about Booze and Phasers, which is our podcast that we do with Claudia, in October of last year. We had our first meeting in early October last year to kind of like talk about it, start, you know, getting plans laid out. And then it would be months later.
Yeah, like crap happened, the holidays, and
everybody got busy.
My mom broke her hip.
Yeah. So like we finally were able to get our ish together and release it to the world. I'm so proud of it.
Good. I'm so proud of it. You know, I've listened to the first couple episodes. I know you have, and some of my friends, and they're just like, wow, this is good. This is special. This is like really,
is really fun.
This made me laugh out loud.
So we should tell, and I've mentioned it on this show before too, but Booze and Phasers is a podcast I do with Audrey and Claudia Dolph, and it's where we have a little drinky drink, like the name says, booze or nine. The other night with Brian, we had like nine easily of those.
Well, because he made they
Harry mudslides
like,
or Harry mud pies,
named after a Star Trek character. Right. But they were in a blender, so they almost were like milkshakes.
It was like
and you
total
never
milkshakes.
Wanted to stop, and my stomach hurt even though we were using lactate.
I know. I was like, I'm gonna fart.
That's
so hard.
That's how old we are.
House.
Is that we're. Ooh. Using lactate.
All about the lactate.
Yeah.
But this is such a fun show. So we drink and we talk about Star Trek because we're all big Star Trek fans.
We have a topic every week. We do some news and we just do some fun stuff, whatever's on our mind. And then we have a topic, and it's been really fun.
I like it that it has absolutely, for me, I like it because it has absolutely nothing to do with parenting. It has nothing to do with acting. It just literally is my chance to just kind of geek out and let my geek flag fly a little bit.
I think that's why I'm enjoying it so much because, I mean, as you know, and as I know about you, because you can tell, you guys, when you listen to Booze and Phasers, because I know you will, you can tell that we have a big love for Star Trek. We're not faking it. And I love geeking out about it. I love just talking about, but what about this one? And then this one, you know?
I appreciate the fact that you and Claudia are so knowledgeable. I feel like sometimes I am the cheerleader who is like, yeah, I love that one. Woohoo. And you guys like really are like fans. And I'm like, God,
you make me
want to step up my game.
You're a big fan. But your knowledge is great with Next Generation.
Yeah.
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 And then all the other Star Treks. Go fuck yourself. Yeah. No.
Well, I don't even know if Claudia finished Voyager or Deep Space Nine.
That's what she said. She didn't finish.
Yeah. So I'm like
We've seen them all. I've seen them all.
Big one. Like, I haven't finished original series.
But I don't remember a lot of... but the ones I'll watch in reruns is Next Generation.
Oh, me too.
Yeah, I'll watch
like
that.
BBC America. They had a marathon on it yesterday. And Brian and I were working in the garage cleaning stuff out. And we had that on the... So every time you, like, walk through the house, you'd stop at the TV and... What's Picard doing?
Yeah, what's he talking about?
Data doing?
Why is he so
handsome? This one.
I do love all of the Star Trek. I just love the Star Trek world and Next Generation in particular. I was the girl in high school who was a cheerleader, but also secretly loved Star Trek. And, you know, as I told you on Neil Before Odd, your interview podcast, my mom outed me at my 16th birthday party. by telling all of my friends from high school. Like, she sent out little invitations to everybody for my sweet 16 birthday party and then put a note at the bottom. And don't forget, Heather is a big Star Trek fan if you want to bring gifts that are Star Trek related or whatever. And I didn't know she did that till I got to my surprise sweet 16 and all my friends had like Star Trek presents and they were like, yeah, mom totally told us. And I was like, no, I wanted to die. I was captain of the cheerleading squad. I was captain of the soccer team. Like, I was very athletic and sporty.
And now
like,
you're
we're not
nerd.
Supposed to be into yeah. like nerdy things. Ew. But I was like, yeah, fuck it. I like it. And I just
actually
embraced
makes you
it.
More cool. I mean,
I think so.
Cause you crossed all lines in high school then. You went them. You were a nerd, you were popular, jock, you yeah. were athletic.
But no one wanted to date me. So maybe that was not the winning combination.
No. I didn't have a date till college. Friend. No one ever wanted to date me in high school.
I think mine was my freshman year in college. Well, no, yeah. I had like a date, but it ended with him kissing me on the forehead and going, good night.
Oh boy.
It was the most awkward end to a
was
first
it,
date.
Was it
ever.
Because he was nervous or he was just like, ah, oh, this didn't work out?
I think it was more like, thanks, sis. Like, thanks for going out. Like, I don't know if he was like a pity date or what, but I was super excited. I remember shaving my legs for the first time. I was like, I don't know. I think I saw this in my teen beat, my tiger beat. But yeah, I'll never forget. His name was Sean Fitzpatrick. And at the end of the night, he leaned in and kissed me on the forehead and was like, see you at school tomorrow.
Oh, my goodness.
And I was like, oh, my God, did we just make out? Like, that's how dumb I was. This
was... Is it forehead kissing, making out?
Yeah.
Am is that I... first base?
Yeah, I totally did. And my mom is just as vulgar and disgusting and sometimes as I am. So, of course, I walk in and my mom goes, did you make out? And I'm like, Mom, mind your own business. And she was like, he didn't touch your boobs, did he? And I'm like, Jesus.
Mom.
I know. That's totally my mom.
I would
mama.
Be mortified.
I cannot wait to do that to my daughter, though. I'm totally going to do it. So inappropriate.
Oh, no, I can't. I can't do it with my stepdaughter. We just sit in bed and wonder, do you think she's dating? Is she dating?
Yeah,
is
I was going to say, yeah. So I want to talk to you about your stepdaughter, but I want to talk quickly about, you have Kneel Before Odd, but you have a lot of podcasts.
Yes.
Kneel Before Odd, where you do one-on-one interviews with people, mm-hmm. which are fantastic.
Thank you.
Specifically the episode you did with Heather Brooker.
Yeah, you guys should listen. You should get do a two-hour.
There's
do
so much access to
double
Heather.
Book your podcast time, the Kneel Before Odd with Heather, and then of course Motherhood in Hollywood
everyone's
with
like,
Audrey.
Pass.
We do talk about different things.
We
in
do
each
talk about
them.
Different
yeah.
things. Yeah, yeah, it's they're all very specifically different, uniquely different. Yeah. I want to talk about where your love for podcasting comes in, because I have to. I know where mine came in from and like kind of how it all started, but you have been doing it a little bit longer than I have,
right?
And it's such a specific medium that's really been taking off over the last few years. I find that people either are big podcast fans, like, oh, you have a podcast? Great. I want to listen. Or they're like, what is that?
What is it? What
where
is
do
this
I find that?
Thing
and I'm
a
like,
pod. Yeah.
So where, how did podcasting begin for you? And well, then you like took the plunge.
Well, you know, it started with my show, Five Truths and a Lie, which is, we turn into a podcast. It's a storytelling show. I had been going to the Moth, you know, around town and throwing my name in the hat.
I want to go to one of those.
And never getting picked to tell a story. And I know I'm a good storyteller, you know. Well, no, I know I've got stories.
You got stories.
And so, you know, and so you when you throw your name in the hat, at least me, I at least prepare just in case I get picked. But I was never getting picked. And so my husband and I came up with the idea in a bar, as a lot of our great ideas come from when we're
of course.
In a bar drinking. And we were waiting to go see a movie or something. And I was just like, I'm tired of doing that. And we're like, he's like, well, let's do our own. And I said, but I don't want to be the Moth. I don't want to just be another storytelling show. There's a few out there that are really, really, really great, mm-hmm. but they're just stories and there's maybe enough of them out there. So what can we do? And I hate to use the word gimmick, but we did come up with a gimmick, but it turned into something else. The gimmick, what is called Five Truths and a Lie. We have six people tell stories from their lives based on a theme. And one of them is lying. So the audience, tries to figure out who's lying. So that's what we thought the gimmick was going to be. Mm-hmm. So we started it in our living room with like 10 of our friends for the first show. And Brian's like, let's record this. I was like, okay, I don't know how to do it. But our friend Matt Sewell came over and he figured it out. We had a mic. Brian went out and got a mic. And then the next time we had like 15 people in our house, and next thing you know, we had like 22 people in our house. And so it's like, when we lived on the in Culver City, and it was a really tiny house. I mean, the living room was so, people were just like up against each other on the floor, but it was a really neat feeling. I mean, it's like a salon or something like that. And then one day I invited this guy I work with, who I was working at a gaming company at the time. He was a graphic designer there. And so he came with his wife. And when we're leaving, she was like, I work at a gallery, and they would let you do this there for free because they're looking for new, younger clientele, because most of their clientele is older and stuff like that. So we started doing it in a gallery, and we had recorded each one. And what we found out, the gimmick thing that we found out, is that the people that were telling the truth, you can tell the people that are telling the truth, they're embellishing so much
to try to get it to seem like they're lying.
People embellish their stories. You really realize that people embellish stories about their lives, and the people that are lying are trying to kind of keep it more straight and narrow so it doesn't seem wild and crazy. And so, you know, you realize that, you know, it's kind of every lie begins with a truth and all that stuff. So whenever someone's panicking about lying, we were saying, start from a true story. Like, I, you know, if whatever theme was podcasting, I can start with this moment that we're having right now, because then I'm not lying
right
in the beginning of the story, but then I could start adding the lie on top of it. And in 4 years of doing shows, so I'd say we've done about, because it's quarterly, about 30 to 35 shows.
Wow.
Only once did the majority of the audience pick the liar correctly.
Oh, wow.
Because the people we get are just great storytellers. And
that's so cool.
And the lines between truth and, that's what we learned, is the lines between lying and telling the truth are so thin.
So thin.
So it's like, yeah, it started out as a gimmick, but it's absolutely fascinating. So
also,
when,
what a great pool of people you have to choose from here in Los Angeles. Like,
we
there's
do.
So many. This is this.
We're
town
very
of
lucky,
storytellers,
you know,
for sure.
And you know, I know a lot of great, wonderful people that would do great telling stories. And then my husband's in the television industry, so he knows a whole nother group of people. So we've been able to get some celebrities to do it along with our friends, and we kind of try
That's
to mix
so cool.
all those together.
Yeah.
And and we've stayed at the gallery, and there's, you know, we can only fit like 60 seats in the gallery, and we've thought a few times about getting into bigger houses, but you really lose that feel because we have the lights up.
Yeah.
So the storyteller is right there with the audience.
Yeah.
And they're sitting around them. So it's not an us, here's me. Mm-hmm. Everybody's in it together, and it's really lovely. And then I think when we were doing it at our house, the second or third one is like, we're recording these, let's start putting them on the internet.
Yeah,
and so our friend Jeff, the graphic designer from work, who brought his wife, who got us into the gallery, they had just decided to start doing a website business, creating websites.
Oh.
And so, you know, we worked on creating a Five Truths and Lie website, which is, you guys should visit it. Lots of great podcasts. It is a little outdated. We need to update it a bit as far as the font and all that kind of stuff.
Yes,
but
you must have hip fonts.
If
I've learned anything.
You must be hip. So we built the website, and he researched, because we didn't know anything about podcasting, and he did research about how to get it up on iTunes and everything. And then our sound engineer for Booze and Vasers, and Five Truths and Lie, he came over and he recorded me and Brian. We do an introduction to the show. We play three stories, and then we talk about the three stories and what happened that night.
Yeah.
During the live show. And then we introduce three more stories, and then we come back and we give everybody like 3 seconds to figure out the liar. And then we tell them who the liar was and what our thoughts on how the audience reacted.
Yeah.
You know, 'cause like, my friend Josh told a story about his mother who, had cancer. She had cancer like 10 times, and it never got her, you know, and she would never stop smoking and eating bad and all this kind of stuff. And he told a story about that, and it was a beautiful story. Everybody was crying, because usually people go for the comedy in their stories, but he was he's like, I'm going to tell the story. And it was funny. There was parts of it that was funny, but two people chose him for the liar. And my husband was hosting. He's like, who fucking chose him for the liar? Put your hands up. Right? How can you choose him? And one of somebody else, someone had chosen him. And they were like, because it was too sad. And I just didn't want to believe it was true.
Hey guys, it's the time of the show where I get to tell you a little bit more about BumbyBox. BumbyBox is an eco-friendly toy subscription service. What does that mean? Well, you get toys delivered to your house every month. But these are not just any toys. These are toys that have been specially curated just for your child. They are play-based toys that are tailored to your child's age and interest, and they also support play-based learning activities. Pretty great, huh? You've also heard me mention that these toys are fully sustainable. Well, that means that there is no PVC, BPA, or other harmful plastics inside the toys that come inside each Bumby box. If you want to get your hands on a Bumby box each month, go to bumbybox.com and at checkout, enter the code MIHOOD, and you'll get 10% off from Motherhood in Hollywood and Bumby Box, a better way to play.
Right,
you know,
right. Yeah. I mean, that sounds really sadly unbelievable.
Yeah,
you know, that something like that could even happen. It sounds very unbelievable.
Yeah.
So that sort of sparked then your love for podcasting.
It did, and we really enjoyed doing it. You know.
But what made you? At what point did you decide you wanted to bring your geekdom into it? Your fandom of.
Well, I had the idea of Geek Girl Authority. I've been wanting to do, I'm not with that name, I've been wanting to do a website for some time, and I had approached Claudia about it at Comic-Con, actually, and she, of course, was super interested, and I have another friend named Jenny Flock, who is no longer involved in the site. She wanted to take some time off. She had a little baby, and she started teaching. So the three of us sat down, and kind of like what we did with Booze and Phasers, we planned and came up with the name Geek Girl Authority. And when we first started, it's like, it's all going to be sketches. We're going to take over YouTube. It's going to be awesome.
Oh, but the dreams.
The dreams. And you know, and we had enough funny to do it, enough great writers to do it. But that... You know, planning.
It's a lot of work.
It's a lot of, and that's what we found out.
It's a lot of work.
And I was like, oh, I don't want to let Geek Girl Authority die. So I started, we're going to start blogging about nerd news and stuff like that. So we started doing that. And Brian bought me a really nice camera for Christmas. And so I started filming myself doing like, it was called Audrey's Great Escape. Favorite books of mine. And I only did like 3 or 4 of them before I kind of crapped out because that was... My anxiety got the best of me in that one, actually, because I would have to learn how to better edit.
Yeah.
And I was having a lot of trouble with that. And then I just thought about Neil Before Odd. I mean, I love podcasts and I love the name Neil Before Odd. And for those of you out there that don't get the reference, of course, Audrey Odd in Superman 2 from the 80s, there's a villain named Zod and he tells the president to kneel before Zod. So it's a big thing for nerds. Nerds get it. Yeah. And I was convinced I'm going to do 15 to 20 minute interviews.
Yeah.
Just of my friends.
Just quick. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's what people want to hear, just a 20-minute interview and blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. And so I did it with my first two. My third one went an hour, and what I found is people actually listen to the hour ones more than the 20-minute ones, which made me happy because what I found out about myself, which I think you find out, you know about yourself, is you enjoy talking to people and listening and finding out about their lives and having a conversation with them about it. And I saw that I was oh, I'm good at this.
Yeah.
And I can definitely go for an hour. And so Neil Before Odd really, really took off quickly. And then I was taught how to do most of the technical stuff. There's still a few things I have trouble with.
Oh, I know. Yeah. I sent you text messages. Remember that text chain?
But I have a...
You were cracking me up. I was like, Audrey, I'm coming over.
do you want a confession?
Okay. Okay.
I've been wondering how to tell you this.
Oh, God. You knew how to do it the whole time and you were just fucking with me.
No. And I didn't know if I should tell you and Claudia ever.
Oh, God.
Or maybe on a Booze and Phasers.
Confession time.
It is. Okay. So the problem was it was our first Booze and Phasers. We're trying to get up on iTunes.
Yeah.
And it's not going up. And there's a problem when you press one, like if you tried to go to iTunes or if you press subscribe, all this code would come up.
On your website?
On the website. And people were telling Heather that and me and, you know, and all this stuff. And so I went to the hosting people that host the site, and with their support people, we figured it out. And it took a long time because they were little like, what the heck?
Yeah.
But it was this little tiny thing and we figured it out. And it's like, okay, Heather, Claudia, it's going to get up on iTunes now.
Yeah.
Now that that's all fixed, you know, 1 day, 2 day, 3 day, 4 days go. And I'm like, what the heck? And they say you got to wait for 14 days, but most people get approved
in
just a couple days. And so I was like, you know what? I'm going to go through all these steps again. And I'm going to submit it again and just see what happens.
Yeah.
You know, because this is kind of ridiculous. Maybe it's lost. And so I go through all the steps that I did, and then I get to this one page, and everything in like iTunes makes you put in this, your code or whatever, and they tell you if it's a, if it will pass and, you know, muster
right.
to get approved, and then you press submit. So I got to that page and I realized that the entire time I had never pressed submit.
Oh my God.
I had never pressed submit to begin with.
Oh no.
That's my confession.
Oh my God, that's hilarious. Because I was literally like, what is going on? Because we were just having millions of texts back and forth between me and Audrey.
And you were
and
so
Claudia.
Patient. Because, I mean, you know, because you
Claudia, I think, gave up. She was like, I'm out.
She doesn't know how to do any of it. And you do. I mean, you do all your podcasts on your own.
Yeah.
And everything. And I was, my husband walks in and I had this look on my face of like, and he's like, what happened? What's wrong? I'm like, I couldn't talk. And he's like, Audrey. And he thought something was really wrong because I had this like look of shock on my face.
Oh no.
And he comes over and he grabs my hands. Is everything okay? What happened? You know, I said, I never pressed submit.
Oh my God, that's hilarious. It's the little things end up being
and
so
And then
big.
It took 6 hours to approve.
Yeah,
it took once it goes, 6 hours. Once yeah.
once it goes up very yeah. pretty quickly if yeah. you have all your P's and Q's and everything dotted and ready to go. They're pretty fast about it. That's why there's literally tens of thousands of maybe even hundreds. There's uh-huh. hundreds of thousands of podcasts on iTunes now because it's so easy to do.
One thing I've noticed with Booze and Phasers, which is doing great, is when I started Neil Before Odd like 3 or 4 years ago, how much the landscape has even changed from then. You know, like I got listeners really quickly with Neil Before Odd with doing less work than what we're doing with mm-hmm. Booze and Phasers.
Right.
You know, because there's so many people because anybody
so many
can
people,
do it.
Right.
Anybody
but can I do think it now. Because podcasting right now is so hip. It's so in. I know at least for me in the mommy blogging world, in the mm-hmm. mommy world, in parenting, you know, I'm in the kids and family section, but I'm also in the comedy section uh-huh. and I think TV.
Right.
And then TV and film. So in the kids and family section, it's just flooded with all these parenting podcasters. People who've had success with their blogs are now transitioning over to podcasting because they're realizing, oh, this is a medium that's taking off and uh-huh. it's a much better way for people to kind of get to know you. And you can bring in, you know, great guests to interview mm-hmm. and that sort of thing. So podcasting is for sure taking off. And I think it's such a saturated market. It's hard to like make
it
yourself
is.
Stand out anymore.
It's
and you've got
work.
The big juggernauts like the Nerdist, Marc Maron, and those guys yeah. that just are so far ahead. Like you can't touch them.
It is. And they take up a lot of space on the iTunes
oh,
pages,
yeah.
which kind of sucks for all the people that are trying to get up. But you know,
yeah.
they've got their publicists and their marketers and they've got that money and that's yeah. why they're on the front pages. And you just have to keep chugging.
I know.
Chugging along.
And you just,
well,
you know.
Wait, here's my question for you, though. Is I'm going to backtrack. Do you forgive me?
Yeah. Of course.
Okay.
Of course. I mean, I'm totally going to judge you when
oh
you
my
leave.
God.
And like, oh, my God. No, of course. Stuff like that happens all the time.
What a stupid thing. Okay.
I just feel bad because yeah. you were so frustrated because you couldn't figure it out and you were getting frustrated and you didn't know what happened. And I was
and
like,
I really
I
wanted to do it on my own.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you did eventually.
Eventually.
I want to talk. We got to give Brian a shout out because we're
yes.
talking a lot about Brian. Brian is the executive producer of a new show coming out on ABC. Actually, the week that this show is coming out.
Oh, great.
Yeah. So this week on ABC, Uncle Buck.
Uncle Buck on ABC, yeah.
Yes, everybody check it out. Tweet at Brian D. Bradley. Tweet at Audrey Kern so you
yeah.
guys can give them
and
some
love.
And
this is a really funny show. I know there's a lot of, a little bit of backlash out there because of the, no one could be Uncle Buck but John Candy. And you know what?
Yeah, he's going to get that a
you
lot.
You guys have a point, you know, but this is a completely different take on Uncle Buck and it is funny.
Yeah.
It is actually a very, very funny show.
Brian is a funny guy and his writing partner is also really funny. Yeah. So I can imagine that there's some good comedy there. I mean, just the clips and trailers and teasers
yeah.
that I've seen.
And, you know, and honestly, from a lot of shows that are coming out, when they do come out, you don't get that many clips and trailers because sometimes there's not that much to work with. And
right.
On this
right.
show, you know, Mike Epps is playing Uncle Buck and he's got, you know, this is a guy who has 4 million followers.
I mean, what does that say though? Like people get so attached to the original
yeah.
material of something that they're like, no, absolutely not. I mean, we're seeing that happening with Ghostbusters. Yeah. We're seeing that happening with every beloved, you know, thing from our childhood. That's
well, the
that's
same thing we were
remade.
Talking about earlier, you know, about being fearless behind your
computer. Sure.
My favorite tweet I read about the Ghostbusters thing is like, Let me make sure I get this right. The new Ghostbusters isn't going to ruin your childhood. Your parents did that for you.
Right, exactly.
It's like, because everyone's like, it's going to ruin my childhood. You taking away my childhood. It's like, no, it's not. That's never going to change. That Ghostbusters I saw is never, my experience with that movie,
it will never change. I think for me, because I'm sure I've made offhanded comments like that before where I'm like, damn it. Mm-hmm. You know, this, stop remaking. Like, I read that there's somebody trying to remake Heathers. And I'm like, no, like, I have such a special place in my heart for the movie Heathers.
Yeah.
Because, hello, I'm Heather. I was Heather Chandler. But, I don't want anybody to remake it because I feel like there's, it sort of taints the memory.
And I agree with you, you know, and the thing with Uncle Buck is like, it wasn't, you know, Brian's under contract with a NBC Uni and they're fantastic. Mm-hmm. And this was a project they wanted to do. So they assigned it to Brian and Steven, you know, and thank God they did. I think in other hands, it may not have turned out as well. Because, you know, my husband Brian and his writing partner Steven have an immense love for anything John Hughes.
They're
going to take care of it. But yeah, sometimes I'm just like, why? Like when they did the new Willy Wonka, I was just like,
oh yeah,
why? There's so many things when they did Total Recall and they're not doing a better job. They're like a lot of things, they're making it more serious. And I don't know. I've got the same. Once in a while you're surprised and you're like, ah, that was good. That was great.
My reasoning for not being excited for Ghostbusters has nothing to do with the fact that it's women, has nothing to do with the fact that it's like taking away from, you know, a movie that I loved as well. I'm just purely jealous that Melissa McCarthy is cast in it.
Like, it should be you.
It should be me. 100%.
I agree with you.
People have heard me on the show before just bitch about it. And I'm sure one day I'll meet Melissa McCarthy and just be like, oh my God, you're amazing. Everything you do is so funny. Let's be friends. I know I'm going to be that asshole. But for now, behind the safety of my microphone, I'm going to say, God damn it, stop casting her and everything. Cast some other funny, chubby gals. I'm hilarious and also fat.
Doesn't have to be one.
Doesn't have to be just one.
Yeah.
So I want to talk to you. You mentioned earlier about being a stepmom.
Yes.
So you and Brian were a stepmom early on. Like when you were young, right?
Yeah. Oh,
19,
yeah.
20?
I was 21.
21.
I was 21.
And did Brian, was he already a dad when you guys started dating or was it like?
It's a very weird story.
And you can share only what you're comfortable with.
Oh, yeah. We tell everybody this. Zoe, my stepdaughter Zoe, knows about it as well. Brian and I had been friends in college. We're in the theater department. I knew his ex, kind of. We had done a show together one summer where he was assistant directing on it and I was starring in it. And we became even closer. You know, we just had a great time together. We're just constantly laughing. Nothing untoward going on between us or anything. And
just friendly flirting. Yeah.
He was engaged and I was dating some asshole that I'd been dating for a couple years. And so then it was summer break and we both come back a couple months later and he had split with his ex. I had split with my boyfriend. And he was like, can I take it? You know, let's go out. And I was like, okay. And it was very weird because we were friends. We were such good friends. And I was just kind of like, oh, okay. And so we did. We went out and we went out again and we were really having a great time. And I think for about maybe 2 or 3 weeks we had gone out. And then he calls me and his ex-fiance had just called him and said, I'm pregnant. So the first thing he did was call me and give him props for that. And
just be real upfront about it.
Yeah.
That's nice.
And I said, my answer was, well, good luck. You know, it's like, I'm 21. I'm a senior in college. I wish you guys the best of luck, you know. Yeah. But then I see him in class the next day because we had classes together and everything and we kept seeing each other and stuff like that. And I had to make a decision, you know, we continued dating. I was like, do I want at 21 to be a part of a child's life? You know, the answer was no, I didn't, but I was really falling in love with Brian and everything. And, I have a big Irish Catholic family, so you know, kids don't scare me at all. I was just thinking of being, you know, my life and my future and everything. And so that's what happened. And Zoe doesn't remember a time where there wasn't an Audrey. She's like, I got my mom, my dad, and my Audrey, you know, so she considers me a parent.
Was that hard for you in the beginning? Was it just like, oh my God, were there moments where you were like, I don't want to, this is not my child?
There were moments where I kept saying, well, this will be done soon. like me and Brian will be done soon.
Oh, you kept waiting for that to happen.
Like, yeah, but then we moved in together and I was still thinking this will be done soon, you know. But then when Zoe started coming over, you know, because they had gone to court and they're still figuring, because there was hard feelings in the beginning between the two of them, and that had to work itself out. And now then they parented really close together after that. Brian didn't have a clue what to do with a child.
Right.
You know, and
well,
I'd me
imagine
coming,
most 21-year-old guys don't
you know, yeah. And but you know, in my family, when I was 11, I was changing my brother's diapers and watching him by myself, and then my mom had another kid and I was doing that with my sister too, you know. I was bathing them. Mm-hmm. We had cloth diapers, you know. Oh, all
gross.
That stuff, you know. And so and I also worked through high school and in college at daycares. They pay me under the table because I was like only 14 or 15. So I was always around kids. I'd be in the infant room. I think if these parents knew that some 15.
Oh my God. That's but, like. Yeah. But it sounds like you knew what you but were doing. But I mean, still, for a parent, like that would be like. Oh
yeah, exactly. And these were like, you know, Southern church daycares.
Yeah,
where, you
yeah.
know, they weren't really paying attention. And so and then in high school and college, worked with in camps and all that. So I've
so
always
you're very
been
familiar
kids.
With kids. So
I taught them the bathing and the diapers mm-hmm. and the feeding and
do, was,
all that.
Do you think that that brought you guys even closer together?
Yeah.
Or was it something that kind of forced you farther apart, or
me and Brian?
Yeah.
That's a good question. I don't think it ever forced us farther apart, and I also don't think it really made us more close. Our relationship always stayed the same because you know, 3 weeks into our relationship, Zoe was happening.
Wow.
You know, and the great thing is that we were in Florida and Brittany was in Florida too, so we all got a lot of time with Zoe. Like, I helped raise Zoe. I'm not taking anything away from Brittany was right. a 24-hour mom. I mean, right. she was the one that was up all night with the sick baby and all that kind of stuff, and we had right. visitation. But when Zoe, you know, was like one or two, and Brittany decided to go back to school, so when she'd have finals, we'd come take her for 3 or 4 weeks, and mm-hmm. she was studying for finals, and we were so close. We're only like an hour and a half. Well, she was 2 hours away, but we would meet in the middle, like no. you know, when yeah. we were dropping her off. And
was
so,
it awkward in the beginning? Was she resentful, you know, of because you, in your mind you always have this picture of the evil stepmom, you know, and the one who came in and
right.
took
right.
away the family, you know.
I think Brittany's friends thought of me
in
that
way. Yeah.
I cannot speak to what Brittany said to them,
yeah,
or whatever. I knew that at times, I mean, her and Brian would fight a lot, mm-hmm. you know, which is probably why they should have never been together,
right? Right.
But I do remember, and like, I'm going to preface once again saying Brittany's a great mom. This
right.
is stuff that was happening in the beginning. Right. I do remember going up there because we were picking Zoe up for daycare to come home with us. And Brittany stopped by the daycare. It was this really cool daycare where parents can sit while the kids play and everything. And mm-hmm. Brittany had a friend with her. And Zoe wanted to show her parents something. So Brian and Brittany went to go look at something. And her friend was just staring at me and finally said, "You're not what I expected." She goes, "I heard that you... this is just not what I expected based on what I heard." And I made all of Zoe's Halloween costumes because I was
I'm
good
horrified.
Seamstress yeah. and everything. And she's like, "You make all our costumes, you do this and this. I mean, most, yeah, you're, yeah." And she's like, "You're a really good person." That happened a few times. And so I just had a wallop about that. I didn't care because I knew what
yeah.
Zoe meant to me. And the thing, and the great thing is my family, I mean, she's really close to my mom. It's her grandmother. She mm-hmm. calls my mom grandmother. My brothers and sisters are her uncle and aunts, and mm-hmm. she has her cousins. That those are her family 100%. This not never says step. It's my step grandmother. It's her grandmother.
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
So for you, was there ever a time? I mean, I guess I want to know for you, at what point did the tide start to turn? Tide start to turn where you were like, "I love this child. I want to be a mom mm-hmm. to her in some way." You know, I know. You know,
yeah.
you're not her mom, but. You are
yeah.
her mom.
I am. I do.
If that makes any sense. And
yeah,
I don't mean any disrespect to stepmoms.
No. I am.
But
there's different kinds of
step.
There's some stepmoms yeah. that come in when the kid is 10. And it makes a difference.
It makes a difference. But
you know, I am a stepmom, but I am totally one of her main parents. You know, in the beginning of Zoe's life, Brian, Brittany, and I were so... we had no money. I mean, I was mm-hmm. working two different jobs for $5 an hour. Brian was working in the kitchen. She was going back to school. So there's all, it was all about I had made a choice then that part of my income was going to child support because Brian would never be able to pay it by himself, you know, even though we were working multiple jobs.
You were just dating at this point or were you married?
We, after, no. We were living together.
Okay.
Yeah. So we dated for a year when I was a senior. Mm-hmm. And then I moved to Orlando by myself. So I had a year actually because Brian was still going to school. So I actually had a year to think about it.
Yeah.
You know, because Zoe had been born. And so when he moved to Orlando, it's like, yeah, let's move in. You know, we went out and got a toddler bed in our tiny one bedroom apartment mm-hmm. and had it baby proofed. And, you know, Brittany, if you want to come see the apartment, and,
yeah,
you know, whatever you want to do, because she was really paranoid about the whole thing. But Zoe, you know, I kept Zoe alive. Brian kept her happy. I always say that about all kids. And everything.
Isn't that every mom's role? That, like, yeah. I feel like that's every mom.
So, you know, I made that choice to help pay the child support. And I made that choice to watch her when she came down and bathe her. I mean, when you're bathing a child and changing their diaper, you know, mm-hmm. if you,
there's a connection there.
There's a connection. And mm-hmm. she was really close to me. Like I said, she doesn't have a memory where I'm not there, you know. And then I started paying part of her college fund and mm-hmm. my family, you know, took her in. And mm-hmm. and then I'd say when she was about 7 or 8, things changed a little bit because I think more girlness happened. So she kind of actually maybe a little older, maybe around 10, where Brian got really depressed because she didn't want to wrestle anymore.
Aww.
And this may happen with Chris, you know, because you can start to get to your little boobies and things are happening. And then all of a sudden Brian was so jealous of our relationship because she was coming to me with everything. And
I'm curious to see if that will happen. Cause right now Channing is so physical. She's such like a little tomboy girl, mm-hmm. but she also loves her princess dresses. She loves glitter. She loves getting nails done, you know, and like does all girly things. And, but she also loves sword fighting in her high heels.
Right.
So I love that. I'm wondering when that point might
I think
turn.
It was just when she noticed her body changing and it only stayed that way for a little while. I mean, her relationship with us now, cause she moved out here with us, when she was 18 and she lived with us for about 4 years. Now she's going to school, about 2 hours away. And
what is your relationship with her like now?
We're super close. Me, Brian, and Zoe, we're all super close.
That's nice.
It's like I never talked about the things we talk about with my parents. Mm-hmm. You know, I never, you know, and she's very comfortable calling us. And I went through a period, I think maybe because I come from a big family where I just didn't want to be around my family. I regret that behavior of mine mm-hmm. in my 20s.
It happens.
Mm-hmm. But she has not gone through that. You know, maybe she just wants to do laundry at our house. And I understand that too. But it's very interesting. She calls me for certain things and she calls her dad for certain things. Like mm-hmm. she's a journalism major and an urban studies major. She's a smarty pants. And so when it comes to writing, creative writing, she calls her dad a lot mm-hmm. and they'll talk endlessly about how to approach something.
I love that.
And when she calls me, it's just like, so Audrey, do you have any secrets that you use when you're trying to do such and such and such to the house? And she's really playing up on my OCD.
No.
She goes, is there an Audrey way that you do? Because she was a slob growing up and we were button heads.
I'm sure.
We were button heads.
Yeah.
You know, about cleaning, and she was leaving shit all the house and all this stuff, kind of stuff, and she wasn't doing her chores right.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, that's what? You think that's wiping down a counter? And I was like, how can I communicate
so
with
some
her?
Of your background then was starting to come out with
absolutely.
Your, with
and
your
I realized
rules
that.
And regimens.
I realized that one time Zoe looked at me and I realized, oh, she thinks she's cleaning. This is how Zoe cleans. And you're wanting her to clean. So I said, and I never forget how big her eyes got when I said, Zoe, I'm Keegan, mad at you for your chores. This is what I want you to do. Next time you dust or clean the bathroom, I want you to take a look around and think, how would Audrey do it?
What would Audrey do?
I did. I totally said, how would Audrey clean this? And her eyes got really big and she's like, that's a really good idea. She was like 15 or 16 at this time. She's like,
so it's like a light bulb moment for both of you.
For
then.
Both of us.
And it probably helped maybe cut down on some of the any clashes that you guys were having.
It absolutely did. And so she calls me for Audrey shortcuts all
that's nice.
The time now. And I am the first person she calls usually like if, she gets in a car accident or that kind of stuff, you know.
Ooh, I hope that doesn't happen often.
No, no.
How often is this happening?
she learned to drive and she refused. She said, I am never going to learn to drive. I'm going to be a public transportation girl. And she refused to learn to drive. And then when
these
she
kids and yeah, their ideas.
So when she moved out here, we're like, we're hiring someone to teach because we can't teach. If we were in Florida, I'd teach her how to drive. But I'm not going to teach her how to drive in L.A.
Yeah,
I couldn't handle it. So we hired one of those companies and everything. And then she was allowed to use our car. We just paid off our car.
Mm-hmm.
So here she is, this kid. She gets a car.
Wow.
Yeah, because we just paid it off. And my God, it was totaled.
Oh.
Just a couple weeks later.
I feel like that happens a lot. My mom got me a car when I had to help pay for it. So it wasn't like, here's a free car, kid. I mean, I helped pay for my car insurance and for the car payment.
Mm-hmm.
So I worked my butt off. But I, within months of getting it, crashed it, totaled it, almost died on the freeway. And my mom was like devastated. I mean, it was terrible.
It's very interesting how you handle that as a mother, because she called us. It's about 5 years ago, and she's just crying. I'm like, what happened?
Mm-hmm.
I got a car accident. And the first thing I said, you know, because Brian is quick to get, not again, Zoe, because she sometimes doesn't pay attention. She's very in her head, dreaming and all that kind of stuff. And first thing I was like, is everybody okay? Mm-hmm. Is anybody hurt? And she's crying. She says, these people are telling me they're hurt, but I don't think they are in that kind of situation. She said, I said, where are you? She said, I don't know, because she didn't know L.A.
Oh.
And I said, give me the address that you, this is when everyone had Garmin's, it wasn't in, and so so give me the address that you put in, because it'll give me the same route, you know. So I thought of that, and so I followed the same route until I found her on the downtown
on the
110. And it was one of those mother moments, which you'll know about, and you'll have many, many of them.
Oh, yeah.
Where me and Brian get out of the car, but she locks eyes on the maternal one, you know, and she just like collapsed in my arms. And aww. So I'm holding her and I hold her. And I'm checking. This is, I'm a tall girl, which is, you have to say, I'm 6 feet. And I'm usually kind of slump and I hate being
trying
tall.
To minimize yourself.
Yeah. But every once in a while, if you hurt some, that's the thing is, I won't stick up for myself, but I'll stick up for any of my friends or family. Do not cross me.
Yeah.
And I see these people that she crashed into them. She totaled her car. And so Brian comes up and I kind of move Zoe over to Brian's shoulder, you know, and I walk up to these people and this guy's really short and he's like, I said, are you okay? Is everybody okay? You know, and I'm starting from there and he's like, yeah, I'm okay. But my wife, she really hurt her back.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to have to do something about this. And so I stood up real tall and I took a step towards him, you know, because he only came up to my boobs. You know, I took a step towards him. I looked down. I said, yeah, we should do something about this. Let's exchange information. And he looked and he took a step back, looked at me. He goes, no, we should do something about this now.
Oh, like he was wanting money.
He wanted money at that moment, which happens a lot in everywhere, but especially in L.A.
In
big cities and stuff like that.
Do not crash your car in L.A.
Yeah. And I took another step towards him. I said, if your wife is hurt, my insurance will definitely pay for it.
But I bet you they didn't have insurance, did they?
Well, you know, but he wasn't expecting that answer. And I was standing up so straight and he kept cowering and cowering. And then two motorcycle cops happened to come by, because it's also very hard to get cops to stop at your accident in L.A.
Mm-hmm.
They happened to come by and they told us to get off the road because we were blocking traffic. And there's a third guy. They interviewed everyone separately. The third guy was the one who kind of, because Zoe's crash, bumped her.
Yeah.
And everyone told the guy, if you want to go. You can have our information. He's like, it's a dent. He's so funny. It was such a Hollywood guy, but a nice one. He's like, it's just a dent. I just have somewhere to be. I really don't want to be involved in all this. And we're just like, go. And the cops were like, if you want to, if they're fine with it, go. Let's go. So he just took off. So it was really us and that family. And they interviewed them and then they interviewed us and the cop came up to us and he gave me his card. If that family tries to contact you, you call me. He said they're setting you up and everything.
Oh, totally.
Yeah. But anyway, she totaled the car that she just got.
But what a nice feeling for you that, you know, all those years ago when this was sort of thrust on your life and sent your life in a total different trajectory.
Yeah, absolutely.
Than what you were anticipating,
mm-hmm.
How close you guys have become. And now this person that you were initially like, or this, you know, I don't know if I want this in my life, now is someone you love so much.
Oh, yeah.
And have a mama bear, you know, have mama bear moments with and things like that. I
wouldn't change a thing. You know, it was a very tough decision at that time.
Absolutely. And thank you for being honest about that and not like glossing over it and being like, you know, no, it was, you know, wonderful. And I knew I was going to be her mom. Like, I think some people...
I didn't want the responsibility. Yeah. You know, I didn't know. I kept thinking this is going to end, you know, and it didn't
mean... Because that's hard.
Like, it didn't mean I didn't love Zoe. But at some point, I loved Brian very much. And at some point I was just like, you know...
They're a package.
Yeah. They come together and, and Zoe and I had a relationship right away, you know, when she was young.
Yeah. And I think that's great. You know, I appreciate your being honest about that because I just think
Parenting ain't easy. And especially, you know, there's a whole different subpopulation of step parents. You know, some people that don't handle it well.
Yeah.
And some people that do.
That
you
do.
Know?
Yeah. You know? Well, you're one of the good ones.
I'm a good one.
You're
one
of the good ones.
Stepmom.
I want to quickly, before I wrap things up, I want to, first of all, thank you for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me. I'm really excited.
And and sharing all of your love, everything from Star Trek to stepmoms and all of that. Oh, and there it is. There's my title for the episode, Star Trek and Stepmoms. you're welcome. And I want to tell everybody again really quickly where they can find you and Geek Girl Authority.
Yes, please check out geekgirlauthority.com. It's for all your pop culture news. I mean, we have our original podcast. We also have entertainment news and think pieces. And it's a really great site to just go peruse. And of course, the most important thing about it right now is Booze and Phasers.
Booze and Phasers.
Where you can hear Heather and myself. You can find me on Twitter.
Here's get really drunk.
Oh my gosh. The first episode, we kind of took the booze to it very seriously.
Ooh, on the first I remember the next day going, what did I record a podcast?
And I was listening to it, and towards the end you just hear some slurring happening
and like clinking of glasses and wine bottle. Oh my god, it's funny.
Hilarious. It's a really great show. I'm so proud of it. Audrey Kearns on Twitter, which is KEARNS. On Instagram, it's Audrey Kearns _ because some other bitch got their first name Audrey Kearns. And then Geek Girl Authority is Geek Girl Auth on Twitter. And of course, Booze and Phasers
is on iTunes.
It's up on iTunes. Mm-hmm. It's on Instagram. It's on Twitter. And I think that's where you can find me. Please check out FireTruthsAndLie.com since we talked about it.
Yeah.
I mean, we've got like, there's about 100 stories up on the site.
That's amazing.
From celebrities, just from regular folks. And it's fascinating. Listen to people giving you something from their lives.
Yeah.
They're sharing something with you. And then I would be surprised if you, and you can listen to the singles without listening to the whole show. So if you only have time to listen to one story at a time.
You can break
and at the very end of the story, we say, the story you were just listening to was true. Or we'll let you know if it was a lie just listen to. So that's where you can find me.
Okay, cool. And I'm also going to put links to all of what Audrey just talked about too on motherhoodinhollywood.com. And thank you guys so much again for listening to the show. Don't forget, you can also subscribe to Motherhood in Hollywood on the iTunes. Do it or die. Oh, wait. No dying. Love you guys. Again, thank you for listening to Motherhood in Hollywood. And have a great week. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Balls.